The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came in, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are several stories in the Gospels that tell of Jesus appearing to his followers after he has been raised from the dead. Each Gospel has different stories. But there is one similarity in all of the accounts. At first, Jesus' followers do not recognize him. In today's Gospel, Mary Magdalene comes to Jesus' tomb that first Easter morning. And when Jesus appears, she thinks he's the gardener. There must be something different about his appearance, something that's not the same, something new. When Mary finally realizes this person is not the gardener, but Jesus, she throws her arms around him. But Jesus tells her, and I read from the New American Bible, "Stop holding on to me. Stop holding on to me." She can't keep hanging on to her past experiences of Jesus, writes John Vandalar. There's something new going on. And then Jesus sends her to tell the other disciples what she's seen. The word apostle means one who is sent. So Mary Magdalene is sometimes called the first apostle. She also has a new life now and a new purpose. She's the very first witness to the resurrection. She also has been changed by Jesus' resurrection. And so she can't cling to her old life either. And as we will hear in next week's gospel, the same thing happens with Jesus' disciples when the risen Christ appears to them, breathes the Holy Spirit onto them, and says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." They too must change, for they are no longer just disciples and followers of Jesus. Now they are apostles. Now they are little Christs, which is what the word Christian means, little incarnations, carrying God's life, grace, and love into the world in their own bodies, their own lives. Unquote. In all the resurrection appearances in the Gospels, the risen Christ is not recognizable at first. As a result of having died and been raised from the dead, he has changed. And his resurrection also changes Mary Magdalene and the disciples. But first, they had to experience Good Friday. Franciscan friar Richard Rohr suggests that when we are talking about Jesus having been raised from the dead, rather than using the word change, a better word might be transformation. Just like a caterpillar dies and is transformed into a butterfly. Father Rohr writes, "The word change normally refers to new beginnings. But transformation more often happens not when something new begins, but when something old falls apart. The pain of something old falling apart invites the soul to listen at a deeper level. It invites and sometimes forces the soul to go to a new place because the old place is not working anymore. However we describe the experience, darkness, death, emptiness, abandonment, the cross, whatever it is, it does not feel good, and it does not feel like God. We will do anything to keep the old thing from falling apart." Unquote. We will do anything to keep the old thing from falling apart. My friends, what is falling apart in your life? Your personal life, as well as your communal life? Perhaps it is your health that is falling apart, or a relationship, or your old accustomed way of living. We here at Christ Church have become painfully aware that the church as we have known it in the past is falling apart. And this is true not only with Christ Church, but with Christian churches as a whole. This is when we need patience, guidance, and the freedom to let go instead of tightening our controls and certitudes, writes Father Rohr. Transformation usually includes a disconcerting reorientation. It can either help people to find a new meaning, or it can cause people to close down and turn bitter. The difference is determined by the quality of our inner life, or what we call spirituality. Change of itself just happens. Spiritual transformation is an active process of letting go, living in the confusing dark space for a while. Unquote. Spiritual transformation means that we must experience our own Good Fridays, those losses and deaths that come to all of us that cannot be avoided. Not only losses of loved ones, but also the loss of a job or a marriage, our youth, our health, the way of life that we have lived in the past, or the way of church that we have practiced in the past, which can be no more. My friends, the message of Easter, Christ is risen, has no meaning unless we first hear the message of Good Friday, Jesus has died. And as Reverend Wendy said on Maundy Thursday, we cannot know the meaning of Holy Week and Easter if we remain simply spectators. We must be participants. This is what St. Paul is saying when he writes to the Romans. If we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is the very meaning of our baptism, my friends. Our baptism signifies and empowers our death to our old self, our surface self, our small self, our separate self, and are being raised to new, far greater, more expansive life in Christ, becoming little Christs. I have come that they may have life, Jesus said earlier in John's gospel, and have it abundantly. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. When we look at Jesus' life leading up to his death and resurrection, we clearly see what Paul meant when he said, everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. For Jesus taught that we must love our enemies and do good to those who persecute us. How new is that compared to our normal old way of hating our enemies and striking back at those who persecute us? Jesus taught that when someone hits us on one cheek, we should turn the other also. How new is that? He spent an inordinate amount of time with society's outcasts, lepers, the poor, prostitutes, tax collectors, foreigners. And he made these outcasts heroes of his parables. How new is that? A renegade but repentant younger son becomes the hero of his parable, while the faithful, obedient older son cuts himself off from his family and from his father. A respected Jewish priest and Levite show no compassion to a beaten, dying man, while a hated foreigner from a hated religion is held up as an example for all. How new is that? How different is that from the old way we customarily treat foreigners and those of other religions? Jesus washes the feet of the disciple whom he knows will betray him. And from his cross, he prays for the forgiveness of those who crucified him. How far from our normal, old human way of living and relating is that? My friends, this is what St. Paul means when he writes, If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. In his life, his teaching, and the way he responded to those who betrayed, denied, and crucified him, Jesus shows us a new mind, a new heart, a new way of life lived in a new kingdom, the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. Paul writes to the Colossians, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." If we have been raised with Christ, we have died to our old self, our old mindset. We have set our minds not on the things that are on earth, where everyone looks out for themselves, hates their enemies, turns a blind eye to the homeless and poor, and those refugees running from war or famine, continually points out the speck in our neighbor's eyes while ignoring the log in our own eye. When we are truly raised with Christ, we set our minds on things that are above, where people who offend us are forgiven 70 times 7. The hungry poor are fed, the naked clothed, those in prison are visited, and after the example of Jesus, we empty ourselves for the sake of the other. The central question of Easter, notes Episcopal priest Jim Friedrich, is not what happened to Jesus way back then, but rather, where is Jesus now for us? Easter becomes not a matter of our questioning the resurrection, but of allowing the resurrection to question us. Who are we now? And what must we become in light of the risen Christ?